Blog Talk Radio.
I feel
safe in the arms of Jesus. You are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I am Pastor Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we would like to welcome you to another Hour of Power broadcast. We would like you to know that you still have time. You have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. The Word of God tells us what we do in word and deed, to do it in the name of Jesus. Dare not go before his throne without praying to the Father which is in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father, we thank you, God, for today's broadcast. Lord, we ask thee, Lord God, to touch each heart. We pray, God, even now, Lord God, that wherever the people may reside, Lord, whatever state, whatever city, Lord, I pray that your word, God, would touch them like never before. Call souls to be saved, and Lord, let lives be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we want to talk to you on the topic of a woman caught in adultery. A woman caught in adultery. It is coming from John, the 8th chapter. And it reads, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses and the law command us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his fingers as though he did not hear. Now, we want to just pause a little bit, and we want to see what God's word is saying to us this morning. And we want to be very clear as to what God is speaking to his people. Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. The only way that we're going to have abundant life is through the word of God. The only way that we're going to have revelation, knowledge, and understanding of God's word is that we ask God and that we sit before him. Now, there are many people that we have read in the scriptures that as Jesus taught, that they came to hear what he was saying. Them, they stood in crowds. Some pressed upon him because they wanted to hear. Some others, they stood, they sat down, and they heard him as he was speaking to them. The word of God tells us this morning that Jesus had went to the Mount of Olives. He had went early in the morning, and it tells us when he came again into the temple, all the people that came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And then we see that the scribes and the Pharisees had brought him a woman, as we said before, that was caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, let's stop there a little bit, because we want to talk about what is adultery. Adultery is that volunteer sexual intercourse with someone other than one husband or one's wife. So we see here that the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, have brought this woman to Jesus, because they said that we caught this woman in adultery. She has committed adultery, brought her, and they didn't just bring her and to Jesus on the side, but they brought her because they wanted to embarrass her, and they brought her because they wanted to make an example of her. They brought her because they wanted to see what Jesus is going to say about this situation. As you know, and as you see in the Word of God so far, they said that they caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now, I do not see in this Word of God wherein that they brought anyone else but this woman. Now, you can't commit adultery unless there is another married person. You can't commit adultery and have sexual intercourse with anybody, anyone, except it has to be for another person's wife. But as you see, and as I read so far, we did not see them bring the man with her. They didn't think it was worthy. They didn't think, oh, it's okay. Because they said they caught the woman in the very act. If they caught the woman in the very act, they didn't catch her by herself, but they caught this woman in the very act with the man. The question is, where is the man that was in the very act of this intercourse, of this sexual act? Where is the man? They didn't bring the man, but they choose to bring this woman. They choose to embarrass her, and they choose to see what Jesus was going to say about this woman that they caught in the very act of adultery. We see here, as they brought this woman to Jesus and set her in the midst of Jesus while he was teaching, because he was teaching others. He was trying to show them the way. He was showing them the way. He was letting them know that he's the way, he's the truth and the life. He was teaching them that they would be able to know him. So they brought her and put her in the midst. And this is what they said to Jesus: "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery." This woman was caught in adultery, and she was caught in the very act of adultery. And then they knew the law. You know how people, they know the Bible, and they read the Bible, but they read it so they can criticize other people. They read it not because they want to live right, but they read it so that they could be one that be able to try to catch others in what they're doing, not looking at their own unrighteousness, but they're looking at other people's unrighteousness, and they want to accuse those who they want to accuse. Do you know people that do things like that? Yes, this woman had sinned, but this woman, She did not sin by herself. She was not caught in the act by herself, because if it was, it would not fit the definition for adultery. So they said to Jesus, they said, now Moses in the law command us that such should be stoned. Moses said that our law is that we stone this woman. But they wanted to see what Jesus was going to say, because they wanted to catch Jesus up as well. They didn't have time to bring the man, but they brought this woman. But they wanted to say, in our law, in the law that Moses had given us, that this woman should be stoned. And in back in those days, for very acts and very, when they came against the law, people were stoned to death. They did things like that. But thank God for his mercy and his grace. Thank God that God has given us a chance to repent, and that we don't have to be stoned to death for things that we do, because there'll be many dead people because of the things that they do. But this woman, they said, Moses said, the law command us that we are stoned to death. But then they want to know, you know, what do you think about this? What do you say about this? And the word of God says in that sixth verse, if you're reading with me, it said, this they said, trying to test him, they have something to accuse him. But Jesus, he was smart. I mean, we serve a very intelligent. I mean, it can't be compared to any man or any woman. Anyone, this man, our God, has the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And his IQ, it surpasses any human IQ. So Jesus, what he did was, the word tells us that Jesus had stooped down, and he wrote on the ground fingers. He just kept writing. He had stooped down, just writing on the ground with his fingers. And he wrote as though he didn't even hear what they were saying. Yes, he heard what they said. He heard them. But he stooped down and he began to write on the ground. And as if I hear you, but I'm not going to say anything to you at this point. So they continue asking him, have you ever seen somebody, you know that they are not deaf, and you know that they certainly hear what you are saying to them. So Jesus wasn't pretending that to be deaf, but he just ignored what they were saying. So they decided, well, we're going to ask again. We're going to pose this question to him again, because we want to know what he thinks about this woman that was caught in adultery. So they continue asking him. And this is what Jesus said. He who is without sin among you, you keep bothering me. You want to know what I think about this situation. So this is what I want to say to all of you. He who is, all of you, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Since you think that you need to stone this woman, you think that you need to kill her because she has committed a sexual act with another man that was not her husband, well, you throw the first stone if you are without sin. And again, He stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the elder, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. Look at the wisdom of God. Look at what God stopped them in their tracks, and God was able to hush their mouth. They knew that they was in sin themselves. They knew that they were transgressors. They knew that they wouldn't meet the requirements of the law themselves. But here, they want to make an example of this woman because of her sin. We have to think within ourselves, how many of us are casting stones? I mean, they may not literally be stones as it was in the day of this particular happening that happened to this woman, because literally they would have stoned this woman to death. They would have killed her. But how many of us today that we will find people that are not living according to God's word, and instead of bringing them to Jesus and bringing them to Jesus so that Jesus can save them and that Jesus can transform their life, we are trying to kill them. We're trying to annihilate them. We're trying to take them out because they have committed adultery without any compassion, without any love, without any understanding, without reasoning with her, without taking her aside and telling not only her, but her, the man that she was with. This man, he was also committing adultery. But sometimes we want to hide certain people and we want to expose other people. But we need to look and see where our heart is. We need to look and examine our own self and see whether or not where are we standing. Are we measuring up to the plan of God, to the will of God? So after Jesus had stooped down that second time and began to continue to write, they began to leave one by one because they knew that they was guilty. They were guilty themselves. It may not have been they were in adultery. They could have been a fornicator. They could have been a homemonger. They could have been a liar. They could have been a cheater. Whatever they were. But they was trying to be self-righteous. And they wanted to kill somebody that day. They didn't care who they killed, because one of the things they were trying to do is that we're going to get somebody. We're going to bring them to Jesus because we want to accuse Jesus, because we don't think that we want to know what he's going to say. They thought they had him. That's what they thought. That if we bring, they knew the law. They knew what the law said. But they didn't see in their intellect how Jesus was going to be able to get out of that. Whether Jesus was going to be able to agree with them, yes, yes, that's what Moses' law said. Moses' law said to stone her to death. So what else are you going to do but stone her? But Jesus did not agree with them. He stopped. He asked as if he didn't even hear them. Sometimes you got to act like you don't even hear people. Come on, because they are trying to take somebody's life. You got to act like you don't hear them sometimes, because they're trying to not to only take somebody's life and destroy their reputation, but they're trying to destroy you as well. So here, Jesus, on that second time when he stooped down, they were so embarrassed and they felt so guilty that they began one by one to leave. We're going to get out of here. One by one. From the elders, they began to leave because they knew that their hearts was not right. And then the word of God tell us, ninth verse, let's read that again. Let's read that 10th verse, because we kind of rehearsed that, and we know that they began to leave. They left Jesus alone. They left the lady alone that had been caught and was standing in the midst. And in that 10th verse it says, and when Jesus had raised himself up, and he had seen no man, he seen no one but the woman. And he said to her, woman, where are those accusers? Where are those that are accusing you? What happened to them? Accusers of yours, those that have come against you, those that have accused you of adultery. Has no one condemned you? They couldn't continue with that act. They couldn't continue with what they were about to do, because they knew they were guilty of sin. And Jesus said, and the woman said, no one, Lord. In other words, it's nobody left. No one here. No one accused me. And you know what Jesus told this woman? Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He gave that woman another chance. He told her to go. He said, go and sin no more. We don't have to stone people to death because of what they said or what they do, the way that they react sometimes. We don't have to embarrass them. We don't have to cause them to lose their mind because of the fact that we have said so many things or break up people's families because of the fact that we know something about people. But Jesus showed them and gave them wisdom and let them know, hey, you are a sinner yourself. And all, if you look at this correctly, all of us sinners were sinners, but we were only saved by the grace of God. Yes, she was in sin, but she wasn't in sin by herself. As we have clearly stated, that there was a man there with her. She couldn't do it by herself. She couldn't have intercourse by herself, but there was a man there. And he, too, was a sinner, but they didn't bring this man. We have to examine our heart. And even as Jesus forgave this woman, and even as Jesus gave her a chance to go her way, he told her, he didn't tell her to go sin some more, but he told her to go and sin no more. Don't get caught in that same situation again. See, in this way, she was able to see the love of God. In this way, Jesus didn't abuse her. He didn't call her everything but a child of God. He showed compassion to this woman. He let her know that he forgave her by saying to her, go and sin no more. And that's what God wants us to know today. For the word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that was me, that was you, that was the person is a person that lives in Alaska, Hawaii. That's the person that lives in Florida. That's that person that lives in Arkansas, wherever you may live. No matter what continent you may live on, you are the person, you are the people that God is speaking to today. And to let you know that he would cast every sin, everything you've done, just like he, this woman, everything you've done. I mean, if you can just begin to get a sheet of paper and a pencil, a pen, and begin to write down some of the things that you've done. I mean, you could not even remember everything that you've done in your life, for you were saved, or if you're not saved. But all you know that, yes, I am a sinner, and I want to be saved. I know that I've not lived right before God. I'm tired of this living. I'm tired of this way of existing, and I want to change my way. But there's a way to get people to change their way, not by bashing them, not by abusing them, not scarring them, not condemning them, because the word of God is going to do what it needs to do in that person's life to let them know, hey, man, hey, woman, you need to change your ways. You need not to be conformed to this world, but you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And God will do that. God will renew your mind. The Bible said that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. The word of God tells us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. So this morning, I want to give you an invitation. I want to give you an invitation to life. I want you to know that if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that Christ will come into your life and that you won't have to live the life that you're living and that you can have a clear conscience and your heart can be right before God and that you can be happy and that you can have joy, that you can have peace, that you can have contentment. I'm not saying that you're not going to go through anything, because I would certainly be lying if I told you that you're not going to go through things even when you are saved, because you are. Because Christ tells us that even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. We're going to go through some things in this life. But the best part about it, that we have Jesus Christ that's going to lead and guide and direct us. And he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. If you want to give Christ your life, would you please repeat after me? Why don't you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. I want to live for you the rest of my life. I want to live this life so that I can live again. If you prayed that prayer with us this morning, if you meant what you were saying to God, and you wasn't saying that to Dr. McCoy, you were speaking to the Almighty God. If you meant what you said, I want you to know that every sin that you have committed from the time that you were born, even up to right now, that God has cast that sin and those sins into the sea of forgiveness, and he will remember it no more. I'm not saying that man is going to forget what you did, but Jesus will forget what you did, and he is the one that will save you. He is the one that will deliver you. He is the one that make you free so that you wouldn't even care about what they said or saying about you, because now I'm free, now I'm saved, now I'm born again, now my life has been, I'm not the same anymore since Jesus came into my life. No, I'm not the same. Never will I be the same because Jesus Christ has come into my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that one and this one. Hallelujah. To those that are saying right now, yes, to your will and yes to your way. God, those that are now, God, new creatures in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away and all things become new. Lord, thank you for renewing their mind. Thank you, Father, for giving them the mind of you. Now, Father, give them that joy and that peace on the inside. God, give them that love for you, that they will study and that they will read your word. And God, that they will talk to you during the day, that they will speak to you in their time, in the time that they that you have provided to them, that they can talk to you. Father, I thank you for all of the souls that were saved. Thank you for the backsliders. Thank you for all of them that came back to you as well on today. And this we will thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary Smith-McCoy of the Hour of Power broadcast. And we want to invite you to join us on this coming Wednesday at this very same time. We also would like to invite you, if you're living here in Jacksonville, Florida, to invite you to the Crusaders for Christ World Mission and Evangelism Center. On Thursday night, we have the Hour of Power Thursday Night Live. And we invite you, men and women, boys and girls, if you're coming from work, just wear what you have on. You don't have to dress up. You're coming to hear the word of God. Come as you are. Come with the mind that you're going to make a joyful noise. Come with the mind that you're going to give God the praise. Come with the mind that you want more of Christ. And very, very soon, we're going to begin with the Crusaders for Christ World Mission and Evangelist Center, Evangelistic School, and it will be a certificate type program to begin. And if you are interested in attending our certificate school, that you'll learn how to reach more souls for the kingdom. And if you would come, we're not only going to have classes on the inside of the sanctuary, but there will be a week within the month that we're going to go out, and we're going to literally go out into areas, and we're going to teach you how hands-on experience to win souls for the kingdom of God. We're going to show you how to set equipment up. We're going to show you how to be able to deliver a word for an outreach-type message. We're going to show you these things, and we're going to show you how not, in our class, how to be a bold witness for the kingdom of God. This has been Pastor Dr. Mary Smith-McCoy, Pastor of the Crusaders for Christ World Mission, and Executive Director of the Hour of Power broadcast. Please tune in with us at this very same time again on this coming Wednesday, and we can assure you that we will preach and we will teach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that will save your soul. May God bless and keep you. Is out.